So today is February 23rd, and we will start with a new topic. And last week we conclude the study of Eightfold Path. So today we will continue our study through different topics of interdependence horizons.
So the word pratitya samutpada
is
so this is the co-horizons here. This word co-horizons. And this one like independence. Pratitya.
So interdependent co-horizons is one of the main teachings of the Buddha. You know, when he get enlightened, so he looked at the lotus pond and sees the independence of the lotus with the ponds and how the mud and everything in the ponds is really interrelated. So when you look at the lotus, or he looked at the lotus, he sees the sensei, right? Without the sensei, that should be the lotus. And he can see the rain, you know, coming down, and to fill the ponds. And he can see the mud. Without mud, lotus cannot grow. And he can see the air, everything in the lotus. So nothing is separate there. Sometimes we see mud as something that is to be waste, right? It's just like trash. So without trash, or without compost, there is no flower. So the same thing without mud. There is no lotus. So the mud, the air, the rains, the earth have to come together, right? To come together in order for the lotus to to grow like healthily. Without mud, the lotus cannot grow healthy. You know, you can put a lot of something that is not mud, and is not good for the lotus. So so that's why we can see the suffering something is really good for enlightenment. So most of the enlightened people, they go through a lot of painful sufferings. So but we are, when we go to suffering, we complain a lot. Yeah, because we don't know how to recycle, right? The painful, the sufferings, the afflictions. But that all that trains, all that sufferings training for the enlightened being to be. The enlightened being to be. That's why a lot of saints, a lot of enlightened people produce from India, you see. Because that country is, you can see when you already, you see a lot of painful, a lot of racist, a lot of prejudice, a lot of discriminations, caste system. And people go through like a lot of painful when they go through that. But somehow that's where they born from. So the interdependence here is, you know, everything is co-horizons, come up to manifest together, not as separate things. So when we study interdependence horizon, we have to penetrate the teachings of impermanence and non-self. That is the backbone of co-horizons, of interdependence horizon, or interdependent originations. But because there is not no one conditions. in order to for things to arise. Because when the fruit is bearing and we see there's only one condition when it's ripening, but we don't see multi conditions and cause that produce. For example, this potato. And when we see this is the result, right? The result. But we don't see multi conditions, and we don't see the if we live very superficial, we cannot see the sun in the paper, can't. And we cannot see the air in this paper, we cannot see. We cannot see the people who are many human laborers in this paper. This small sheet of paper, and we cannot see that, but it's actually it's there. You know, we have to have a carpenter, you know, have the people who cut down the trees. First, we have some people who have to grow the tree, right? You know, plant the trees and able to make the trees healthy. And once the, and have some time, many years, not just only 1 year, maybe 20 years, in order for the tree to turn into paper. And go through a lot of process. You see that. And when the paper manifests or in front of us to write, and we don't see that, we don't see the cloud. How can we, you know, if we present this paper to the children and we say that, can you see the cloud? No, they cannot see that, unless you really contemplate and see deeply, go back and see how much labor have to work in order for this paper to manifest. We don't see that. So the Buddha see that. Even when, for example, when the children is born, and we don't see how much labor is going through, you know. When the children come out of the womb, and we don't see how much effort that the parents put in. How much, you know, the parents have to eat, you know, the food, and have to, you know, breathe in the fresh air. And have to take, you know, good nutritions. We don't see that, but when the child's born out healthy, and we can see that the results of how much labor many parents, not only one parent, not only for the mother only, but for the grandmother, you can see, in order to produce that children, that child, grandmother, grandfathers, uncle, you know, brothers, sister, friends, have to produce that child. Many efforts have to produce that. So the child is interdependent, interrelated to the world and to the people around. You can see that. The child is first, you can see interrelated to the parents. That's one thing. But we look further, interrelated to the air. Without the fresh air, the child cannot, you know, suffocate. For example, if you cover, I just read a newspaper, and then one lady just instantly accidentally cover, you know, the blanket of the children, and the child, he couldn't breathe, see? And the child had to be very much interrelated to the air. Just only one condition is lacking. The child's already died. How much, you can see how much interrelated the child to the world. And the food that the parents feed this child, and how is that food's processed, the baby food's processed, take a lot of processing for that moment for the child to eat that baby food. Many conditions is interrelated. So when we study the interdependent co-arisings of the teachings of the Buddha, and we can see how much that in our relate to our life. And we are interrelated to each other. You are interrelated to me, and I. Without you, I'm not be here, right? Without you, I will not have in this class. So how much for very close conditions. But without me, all you cannot be here. Right? So we are much, very much interrelated in the very close conditions. It's very... So how can we say this society is individual society?
Mm-hmm.
You see? How much... Because we say that American is an individual society. And it's very ignorance when we say that. You see? Ignorance. Later we will study about ignorance. To say that we are, but that's how we are. How we try to bring ourselves as an individual. And when we look into the teachings of co-arisings, and we say it's not, can be impossible. How can you be individual yourself? You individual, but you are intercollective. So that's why we are suffering, because we think we are individual self, and we imprison ourselves into the ideologies of individualisms. How can you be in individual, you be by yourself without the water? Yes, without the fresh air. And when we say that, we are contradicting already ourselves. So without the air, how can you exist? Without breathing, you are very much interrelated to your breathing. Without breathing, how can you be exist? And without the earth, how can you walk? Even if you have 2 feet, so you are interrelated with the earth, the ground, where you stand, right? But because the thing is in front of us, and we never think about that. We are blind in that. And that's how we was educated in this. And the more we go deeply into that, the more we make ourselves suffering. And how can you be yourself without this world, you know? And the more we think in that direction of individualisms, the more we cause problems for ourselves and for the world. That's why now there's a lot of callings for collective thinking about how to make our world, how to save our world now, because our planet. Because we so much think in our own individualism, that way we cause the problem to our planet. And now we have to awake and call everybody, you know, to work together. Work together here, we are working to co-arisings together, to come together, and to rebuild, or to save our planet. So the interdependence co-arising teachings have to be applied, have to reawake in everybody consciousness, so that we can create a harmonious society, a harmonious planet. And how can the child say that I'm separate from my parents? I don't want to be related to my parents. I have like teenager wrote to me later like that, and I have to think, and I don't want to make any decision related to my parents. How can you do that? You know, because you are the continuations of your parents. And how can you be that? But that's how the teenagers think, and they create a lot of distress for themselves and for their parents. Yesterday I just received an email from that. But because sometimes our thinking is not co-arising, the parents also. We cannot blame, you know, like one individual to say that. But we have to look together. The children and the parents have to look together. We said we are co-arising, co-living in the family. So you cannot close your ideas and pose your authority. You cannot, as a parent, you cannot pose your authority on your children. But you have to explain things in a way that interdependent or interrelated. You say, this is you do, and it's related to me. And I also suffer what you do, if we don't do it right. But you have to explain in a way that you don't pose your power on your children. And that's what happened to many Vietnamese parents. They pose their authorities, the power on the children, and create the separations, and that creates an individual self. Now they want to move out, and they think that their suffering is not related to their parents. So one of the teachings of the Buddha say this is because that is, you know, in the heart of the Buddha, this is the in the heart of the Buddha. But I found a quote in. This is many sutra have have these verses. They say, this is from the Pali and translate, when this is, and when this is, and comma, that is. But they rewrite it so it's easy to understand. This is because that is, so it's the same. But they translate directly, when this is, that is. Mm-hmm. Translate directly. And from the arisings of this come the arisings of that. That is the quotes from the many conical discourse in the Buddhist teachings. But they say, they translate as this is not because that is not. This comes to be because that comes to be. From the arising of this comes the arising of that. This is to be because that is to be. It's a new translation, I think, from Tang. And from the Pali translations, from the cessation of this come the existence of that. And Tang translate this is, this cease to be because that cease to be. And it's easy to understand. Easy to understand. So you can see that because the parents are like this, so the children is like this. And we never take the blame. Blame never work. Because you like this, and your husband speak like this. So you don't blame yourself only, but you don't blame your partner only. So what have to be co-arisings? There must be two conditions to co-arisings, to come into situations. So there is always cause and conditions. This is because that is, you know, because you're angry. This produces no choice for me. Because you're happy, that's why I feel a lot of joy. Right? So there's always one and one. So as a parents, we don't blame students, but as students, we don't condemn our parents. Because like blame and condemn never works for both, never results any bring any happiness and you know, and fresh air for the family. So yeah, if you are a boss, you don't, you know, blame your worker. But as an employee, you don't condemn your boss. You know? But you have to come together, like co-arisings. The boss also depend on the worker, but the employee also depend on the boss. So you don't say that our boss make a lot of benefit, I have very little. That's okay, you know? That's why they are a boss. So the teaching of the interdependent correlation, also the teaching of cause and effect. But normally we don't straight out as cause and effect. Because sometimes mostly we think cause and effect is as a linear, but it's not. It's like a mutually independent, not as a linear. So that's why it can be a misunderstanding, as you know, say like a chicken then an egg, not just linear. But in Buddhism, we don't say anything about linears. We say it's a mutual. The kitchen and the eggs is also interdependent. So normally we debate about, you know, whether the kitchen is first, you know, or the egg is first. Because when I was young, we debated that a lot, you know, a lot. And I never learned this, you know, interdependent co-arising teachings. So I say, you know, have to be, you know, something first. You know, either you have to have the kitchen, you know, the hands, so that the hands can produce the egg. Right? And the egg, you know. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, without a kitchen, then how can the eggs to be laid, you know? But as I grow up and learn this teaching, I say, it have to be mutual, you know. Be mutual, because there is no beginning and no end in the teachings of interdependence. There is no beginning and no end. it's just like co-arising. Things are conditioned, come and it's manifest. But there is not only one condition, there is have to be many conditions. We call yuan, many yuan conditions, and many causes. So when we study the independent, we open up our understanding of the realities. We always think in the linear, always think, you know, in the linear. So if you have a chance, you can read into this text book. I think some of the, most of this is very clear, but some of this can be hard to understand. Because if you have some really, but I think it's the way Tay explained is most easy to understand, and I read a lot of others writing about the independence, but it's hard to understand then Tay. But still, it's still hard to understand. It's very probably complicated. But unless we really practice and look into it, and then it's not hard, it's simple. When explaining by like academically, then it can be a little bit hard. But when we apply a little bit of teachings or practice, then it makes it easy. Really, you really penetrate the teachings. And this kind of teachings have been taught by many, many teachers. Right? One generation to the next. And more, I think, is based on the academics, one thing, but also on their own level of experience of the practice. And many schools have been arises, you know, come to explain this kind of teaching after the Buddha passing away. Because that's why in Buddhism we have 18 schools, and then later is evolve more school to explain these teachings, because and according to their own experience, so they explain the teachings in their own way. But I think it's even in the new generation today, different teachers explain different, a little bit different too. But when you see, you grasp or you understand the essence, then you can see it's easy, not hard. So that's why when Tay explained the interdependent correlation, he used a lot of acid paper and he burned it and he said that, you see, now acid paper now is burned and the smoke evaporating, so it's so evaporating already. So when it's evaporated, it's become air, so the air now is interdependent. You can see the interdependent or the interconnectedness of the paper with the air. You know, when you burn the paper and you can see the smoke, you can see you can see the smoke. But when you present the paper by itself, you cannot see the smoke in it, or the air, or any the ash into it. The ash now turn into the earth, you know, into something else. So when we study this interdependent, we invest a little bit on more on the non self teaching, or the impermanent teachings. So that's really helped you to understand this. As I say before, that's the interdependent of the impermanence teachings and the selflessness teachings is the backbone of this teaching.
Yep. Impermanence and what?
Impermanent and non-self, or selflessness teachings. Because there is non-self, you can see that it's not oneself, and have to be many conditions to come together to make oneself. For example, you say this body is as a self. Normally we say that. We identify it as a self. But when you really categorize, you see, is blood yourself? No. Right? Blood is now water. Is the air you breathe in yourself? Itself? No. Is your eyes yourself? No. Is it not self? No. So when we break into gallery, we can see nothing is ourself, but all these things come together to make ourselves to be alive, right? And you say that is the bone is yourself? No, the bone is like earth. Yourself? No. So you ask yourself that question. You say each categories, and you cannot find nothing itself. So that's the teaching of interdependence, because the earth come together with the water, the heat, to make yourself warm. The air that you breathe in and out. So all of these elements, the space for yourself, is come together. So for you to be like, as long as this basic condition come together, you can, you're still alive. But as one of these conditions is getting weaker, you can feel how uncomfortable yourself is, right? You can get sick. When the heat is not enough, you feel very cold, right? Very cold. And when the earth is too much inside yourself, you feel not very easy to breathe. You can be like suffocate, right? So when we look deeply into that, we see nothing that is make it for ourselves. Then you can open yourself easy to any others. That's why earlier you said that you have to make a new roommate. You go to roommate and you meet somebody. And you open yourself up to receive, to embrace the condition, the new conditions. So we go into different conditions here, and then this is the different school when after the Buddha passed away, and then now it's coming to different school, and this is one of the schools, Savastivada school, which is from the north of India, like Kashmir, beautiful Kashmir. And in their tradition, they have four kinds of condition. The first kind we call Yin Yuan. Or we call cause condition, and we can be the roots condition, the main conditions. So, or the seed condition. So, for example, this is also in the heart of the Buddha teachings. So, I just want to explain a little bit more. So, the seed condition, or so for example, for the flower to grow, you have to have the seed. The seed is the main conditions that for the flowers to grow. So when we have the seeds, we have the main condition, but we need to have like some support condition also, right? But if the seeds there, if we don't have earth or the sand or soil, then the seed cannot grow, right? Seed cannot grow. But if we put the seeds on the rock, it cannot grow either. So we have to have some kind of a condition to support that. But if we put the seeds on the very dry ground or soil, how can the seeds cannot grow? Because we need some moisture, so we need the water. So there is many other support conditions to be for the seeds to grow. So the same thing is like the seeds of awareness is in us, in everybody, right? Seeds, whether you Buddhist or not. I don't care. You still have the seeds of awakening, seed of awareness. But we need the support, the teacher, right? The enlightened being who shows us the way. So even though we have the seed of awareness in us, but nobody shows us the way. So we just put like cover by mud, many layers of rocks and mud, and never grow. And if we don't have the Sangha, practice again, then it's really hard for you to be practiced by yourself if you don't at the beginning. So we have to have a lot of supports. So that's why the Buddha never disregard anybody. Whenever whoever comes his way, he tried to open up the way, whether he's a Hindu. Because the Buddha was a Hindu. But he finds a way out, so he knows that the Hindu have the same seeds of awareness, or the same seeds of awakening as him, or the Muslims, or the Sikhs, all have the same that. So all they have to, the Buddha have to do is just to invite them in and show them, and give them some support, so that they can be an awakened persons. When the time of the Buddha, there is no Buddhist. Nobody is Buddhist. There is no terminology Buddhist. But as is as we grow up, as the Buddhism grow, and then institutions become, make this Buddhist term. So the Buddha, he just like practice and see all the awareness. And okay, so we have seeds of condition, the seed of conditions. So we have the seed already, but we need the conditions. You see, so that's why we see a condition or cause of condition. Under this, we have six causes of the condition here. So this is like big Roman number one, okay? And this is number one under this one. So this is a six kind of cause. So this is we call condition yuan, and yin is the cause here. So we have six kind of cause. The first cause is we call motivating or motive. So motivating is one kind of cause. So motivating is like empowering, you know, give you the power, and it motivates you to practice and create the force. It's helping you out. So that's one kind of cause for the conditions to arise. And the other one is concurring. Concurrent causes, I mean, something that is happen together. Two causes happen together. Or coexistence, and coexistence or mutual conditions, you know. Concurrent causes. So it's many, like many causes, not just only one cause. Concurrent cause can be two, but can be many. So in Buddhism, we never say one causes. So for the flower, for example, for some things, you know, there's many causes in the flowers, you know, have to be a farmer, have to be a plower, you know, and many, many other things for one flowers to be plant the causes. So it's a unlimited cause, not just only one. When we look deeply, we see the unlimited causes. So when things happen, we never blame for one cause. As a lawyer, you know this. You know, you have to try many causes. You know, for a child to be abused, child, for example, there's many causes, not for one cause. Maybe the parents is abandoned them, and then many causes in the families for the child, for the abuse to be happening. So we cannot. We might blame for the parents, but there's many others involved, you know, relative, you know, involved. And most cases that happen, something that's very close to them, around them. Concurrent causes. And the next one is the series of conditions of the same cause, same kind, you know, like same categories. So in this example, it's like wholesome, produce wholesome. Right, you have a good thought, then you must produce some good result. Good thought produce good thought, good result. You have a good thought of good about the people, and they you receive the love and kindness from that person. Invisible, but you can feel the energies. And the example is watermelon have to produce watermelons. The same kind produce the same kind. Joys produce joys, right? Always. If you have a lot of joy in your heart, then you must produce a lot of joys for other people. But first you have to produce it for yourself. And then you can radiate that out. Share your joys with other people. If you have stability, then you share that stability. Whatever you do is produce an energy of stability. Because in your heart, stability is like you have some kind of calmness in your heart. And whatever you do, you produce that kind of result. And the next one is associated condition. So that the third one is related to the associated conditions.
The fourth one. If you have any difficulty understanding, let me know. Give me small example and apply more examples. Because this is the cost, okay? Associated condition cost. Because in Vietnamese we call do you mean like correspondence, you know? Correspondence,
you know, what you produce. So I just talked about previously wholesome, produce and wholesome is like doing, because you have a wholesome thought, right? Corresponding to the wholesome result, we call associate. So the associate is something that associate with the other, similarity. So the associate condition, you, for example, you have a good heart, for example, and you must produce some love and kindness, right? Mm-hmm. So that's associated to that condition. No?
How is that different from the first one?
The first one is the same. This one, little, this I think I mixed up with the first one is same kind produce same kind. Mm-hmm. The same, like rice produce rice. And love produce love.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is a correspondence. It's similar to that. The first one is the same, have to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Love produce love,
yeah.
Hate produce hate.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is associate, something that associate around that. You know, you associate with good people. If you have a good heart, you should be associated with good people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the condition around that. That's why I say it's a little bit too hard to get all this condition cost here. So if you don't really have a clear picture, just let me know. And we can work with it, just to make it clear. So it's like incorporate, working together. It's like, you know, support each other, support. We call doing the tiếp trợ support. Or incorporate, cooperate together.
Mm-hmm. Can you give another example?
Examples are like you as a parent, and you associate with your children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a good, give a good, as if you as a good parents, right? And you should have some good, your children should be influenced from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Incorporate, if they cooperate with you,
mm-hmm.
if they cooperate with you, then they should be produce a good result,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand it a little bit deeper. It's just like the idea that you see one thing,
mm-hmm.
and it causes you to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see homelessness,
mm-hmm.
and it causes you to
give rise to the generates the some kind of pity or some kind of
kindness to act or something. That action is
support
the
you.
Cause of
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
possibly unrelated to the event that you originally saw, connected but unrelated.
They have to be related.
I guess instead of...
Because you see the situation, right?
Sure.
And you give rise to some kind of unconditioned love.
So we see global warming, we see its effects, so we take mm-hmm. our bike to work.
Mm-hmm. So you take you from that and you give rise to accent,
mm-hmm.
right? So that support your original thoughts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your actions support your thoughts at the original give rise to. So have to be here, the meaning is to cooperate, work to, and support.
Okay.
So parents support the children,
mm-hmm.
right? But somehow the children, in order to get that support to work, the children have to cooperate with the parents. So to give rise to some things. Some kind of result.
So is it then that whatever your action is, whether it's positive negative or neutral,
mm-hmm.
The result of it will be positive, negative, or neutral based on your original thought.
Yes, based on your thought and actions. Based on your thought and action too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So always thought first and take actions and the result. So sometimes a wholesome thought can be supported by an unwholesome thought too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why sometimes it's mutual, but sometimes it can be negative. So otherwise, when you read it, it's kind of hard to understand. but we have to elaborate and contemplate a little bit and let it permeate in our skins and bone and marrows. So the next one is easy to understand. The fifth one is universal condition. So universal is happening everywhere. So for example, like Earth. You are everywhere, you can see Earth, and mm-hmm. you can step on Earth. Can air is universal. Water is universal. It's in everybody. Maybe you have type A blood, type B blood, type C blood, but it's still water. So water is universal. And space is also universal. So all these universal conditions to support, to make us manifest. In animal, they have air, you know, even in animal. Have air, have earth, have fire, heat.
The sixth one is ripening conditions. They have different time, different kind, and they don't change. For example, ripening at different time.
Commas, they ripening at different time. Karma, you experience yourself that, you know, sometimes you plan the cause, but it's ripening in a different time, and different for different people, and different kinds.
For the mango,
it's different from the banana, right? And from the bananas, different from the jackfruit. So our karma is also ripening for us too, and a different time in the day too. We all plan the cause for enlightening, but we get different time of peace. You know, sometimes in the day, some people got peace. They attain some kind of peacefulness in the morning. But people in the late morning and afternoon. So that's why our karma is running at different time. It's like that. In different categories, like animal is different from us, right? So do you have any question on this one? Different time, different kind, and change. You know, and the fruits, for example, the fruits, they change, but for the color of the mango is different, right? And for the banana is different, kind of reddish and kind of yellowish when it's ripening, right? So that's changed, the colors. Same thing. If you get confused, just let me know. And you can
you give some more example of change?
Change, like the color change is different. You know, you can see the fruits, different colors when they change, the ripening. The jackfruit, you can see outside is different, but when it's inside, it's different. Not on the skin, externally change.
So ripening condition has to do with karma?
Yeah, karma and this have to be with condition, ripening condition, you know, when the conditions, at a certain time when conditions is right, and it's manifest differently, and for different people, right? And it's manifest in different time for different people. And for animals, different from us. So that is the six causes under the categories of the main cause or the main conditions. Cause conditions. The next one is under that. Number two is conditions of development. So under this condition realm, that there's, as I talked before, there's favorable condition and unfavorable condition. Conditional realm, for example, as I spoke earlier, like the water of seas, the main cause would have to be other support. So condition of development, so in order for the flower to develop, so we have to have water, have to have air, have to have earth, have favorable conditions, right, for it to develop. So for us to practice, we need the teachers, we need spiritual friends, we need a place, we need the Sangha. So that's all favorable conditions. But what if we need there's unfavorable condition also testing us? So as I told you earlier, unfavorable conditions testing our strength and weakness. So when you practice, and if your husband is not practice, your partner is not practice, it's not favorable conditions, right? And how can you develop that? So that's how can you open yourself up? That's taking your challenging your strength. How long can you stand to be practicing by yourself and without the support of your partner? That's unfavorable conditions. Unfavorable condition for the Buddha is he have his wife, his princess, his palace, right? That's unfavorable condition. But he able to renounce it, detach it, and move on. Sometimes big temple can be an unfavorable condition. Hmm. Yeah, it's tied you down, this year, I have to take care of like, many bills and listen many gossips. But it's testing my strength, it's testing my strength and weakness. Sometimes you have big house doesn't mean that's favorable. Yes. You have to work day and night to support the house, right? Mm-hmm. That's unfavorable conditions. But how can, if without that, how? It's also unfavorable. Right? Without a place to stay, how can you, where? Without a place to sleep, unless you are very like Buddha. You can take refuge under the trees. But now here it's very cold.
Mm.
But in India it's very cold too, you like cold than here in the winter. And in summer it's very hot.
Mm.
See, both unfavorable conditions. And of the strength of the practitioner. You go to India, you can see that, the time we go is mild already. Yes, conditions are not very harsh. But in that kind of unfavorable condition, you ask yourself, how can you be able to continue your practice? So ask yourself a practical questions, In your practice, you encounter some unfavorable conditions. There is. People say, it's not, how can you waste your time? Just like gossip. Words, but it's penetrate you. How can you waste your time from Boulder to here? And instead of staying home, watch TV, good show. And that's in favorable condition, just by words. Waste your gas, waste your money, waste your time and efforts. And you know yourself. Just practice, yourself. So the conditions to develop our practice. So what kind of condition, what kind of favorable condition you have? What kind of unfavorable condition you have? That have to be co-arisings. So sometimes unconditioned and the unfavorable and favorable conditions co-arisings happen together. You can have a good spiritual friend, but at the same time you have some obstacle of say that, why are you associated with that, that's the persons. So there's many unfavorable conditions in your practice, in our practice, and many obstacles. But if we don't have the strength, then we can give up easily. Mm-hmm. Very easy. That's why not many people on their path, they drop out. Monks and non-monks, lay people. Unfavorable conditions. But unless you developed the internal strength, and you're able to penetrate these teachings, to understand the impermanence, understand the non-self teachings, understand. So you are not swung by the wind outside, shake by the external conditions. It's not easy, you know. It's not easy. If it's easy, every one of us already become Buddha, you know. And nobody want to practice. You see, in this world, 6 billion, trillion, sentient beings. Yes, and you count on your finger how many people be already enlightened, and how many people on the path. You can count just finger. So that's really, really testing, really, really challenging. And you're able to continue your practice. So you have to feel lucky every time. You are still able to practice, always. You have to feel that, otherwise able for you. That is a joy for you. You see, you always just tell that you are lucky. In many aspects of life. Okay, we will stop here. So next time we will continue for the next two, and we go to more deep on the 12 links. So we will invite Twisted Bell. So we conclude our study.